How do you prepare for the greatest event in human history? Hi, I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church here in Montgomery, Alabama, and I'm excited to welcome you to Fraser 365. In this study, we're asking what it looks like to truly and thoroughly prepare ourselves for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is our hope that you come to a deeper knowledge of the gospel as we're challenged and encouraged in the days to come.
You're listening to Day 19 of Preparation for Resurrection. Today's title is Testing and Arguing. Peter Enns said, "The water from the rock is another Exodus-like event. A staff touches water and the people are saved. The power that brought the Israelites out of Egypt is the same power that sustains them in the desert and will bring them eventually, safely, into the land God promised to Abraham. It shows that Yahweh is Lord of the desert, as he has also shown himself to be Lord of Egypt. The desert is a hostile place, as was Egypt, but both are at God's command." Our text today is Exodus 17, 1 through 7. "All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the command of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, 'Give us water to drink.' And Moses said to them, 'Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?' But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, 'Why do you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?' So Moses cried to the Lord, 'What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" Exodus 17, 1 through 7 concludes a series of three encounters in which the Israelites complained to the Lord because they falsely believed that he had abandoned them without the needed provisions to survive in the desert. In the first and third stories, the Israelites complain about a lack of water, and in the second, they grumble over food. Peter Enns introduces today's scripture as follows. This section is the first of the desert narratives. Israel has crossed the Red Sea and remains in the desert for the remainder of the Pentateuch. Not until Joshua 3 do they cross the Jordan into Canaan. To use an analogy, if Israel's departure from Egypt is her birth, she is now in her period of infancy, the beginning where God is taking his people by the hand and teaching them patiently and lovingly about who he is and what he has in store for them. These stories, therefore, are not just about the murmuring of God's people, but God's care for them. Tony Merida identifies three failures of the Israelites. As the Israelites moved on, this time in Rephidim, they had no water. Instead of trusting God and seeking God, once again, they do something else. They complain to Moses. They demanded water and grumbled against Moses. At the end of the event, we read how they were also asking, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is awful. Therefore, they named the place Massah and Meribah, which means testing and arguing. Instead of trusting God, they were testing God. Let us learn from their example and not imitate them. What were they doing? Notice three failures. They demanded God's provision. They demanded water to drink. We do this when we make demands of God at home or in the church, insisting that he work on our terms. There are times when we must wait patiently on the Lord. They question God's protection. They ask why God brought them out of Egypt. Was it to watch them die? We do this when we accuse God of trying to harm us in our trial. We should remember that he has brought us through a greater exodus. He is worthy of total trust. They doubted God's presence. They doubted if God was with them, as he had promised. We do this when we think God has abandoned us in our wilderness. Yet God always remains faithful. None of these accusations were true. Israel's great problem was that they refused to remember who God is and what he had done. One obvious remedy to our own discontent and unbelief is to remember what God has done for us in Christ. After Moses prayed, God provided water from the rock. God appeared at Horeb, where he first met with Moses in the burning bush. The people were saved through the miraculous provision of water when Moses struck the rock with his staff. This miracle demonstrated that God did not bring them out of the wilderness to kill them, and that he was indeed with them. When we test God and argue with him, we lose focus on all that he has done to provide for us. Rather than count our complaints, we should count our blessings. Here are some questions to consider today. Why do we complain to God about present problems without considering all that he has done for us in the past? What does complaining to God say about our level of faith in him? Why is patience and trust in God's timing necessary to avoid arguing with God? Blessings on you. Have a great day.